I had somebody ask me the other day, I was going to do something that was a big deal, and they said, are you looking forward to it or are you dreading it? And I was like, are those the only two options? Because I'm not exactly looking forward to it. I'm not exactly dreading it. I'm something. And it can change from moment to moment. I'm like really grateful for this life God has given me and this influence that he gave me. And then sometimes that anticipation feels like anxiety. And sometimes my anxiety feels like anticipation. And sometimes, listen to this, the difference between anticipation and anxiety is the way you label it. Some of the things in your life today, now I'm going to talk right to where you live. Let's get away from 2,000 years ago history and bring it right into your current situation. That I'm saying I'm anxious. If you look beneath the anxious feeling, there is actually a future that you are anticipating. And every time you step forward, you shake a little bit. Every time you reach for the right thing, it feels a little foreign in your hands because you've been reaching for the wrong thing. But the Bible says that you can be afraid yet filled. That you can be empty in your energy and filled with God's Spirit. That you can be empty and not know the solution of how this is going to work out, but yet somehow have complete confidence that he who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. Somebody say, I'm yet filled. I like the way that felt when I said it. I'm yet filled. I don't have all the money I need to start the business, but I'm yet filled with faith that if God wants me to do it, the supply is on the way. Now, I don't know how this is going to exactly turn out yet, but I'm yet filled with a knowledge that the God who was with me before in the previous season would not abandon me between winter and spring. At this point, if you interviewed these Marys, they would say, our minds are back and forth. We're grieving. I want to put these on the board so you can see it real quick. Put the first ones up. I'm grieving, but I've got good news. And I know that it's going to be good in the end, but my grief didn't go away just because I got good news. This is why you can throw up your hands and worship God even while you're going through hell. That's how you reach for it. Now, let me make sure I'm making this clear because I get so worked up and I start moving too fast. Their grief over the death of Jesus did not disappear to make way for the good news that he was risen. And in the text it says, a little conjunction, it says, afraid, yet filled. Yet is a conjunction. Jesus is my conjunction. Jesus is my in-between thing. Jesus is how I can say, you know how people say, it's all good? I can't say that. I got some habits that are not good. I've got some people in my life. I'm gonna skip that one. I'll come back to that next week. I've got some things I'm dealing with that are not good. So it's not all good. How you doing? It's all good. We say that all the time. I don't say that. I don't say that anymore because it's not all good. But it's not all grief either. And you got to remember that when you're going through a dawning season where it's not exactly dark. It's not exactly light. My marriage isn't exactly back on track, but it's not yet fallen apart. I haven't yet lost my mind, but I'm not really that sane yet either. So don't test me because I could pop loose real quick. I'm something in between. But I read a Bible verse I want to give to you from the New Testament in Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says that in all things, God works for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say everything will be all good. It says even when it's not all good, it's still all God. Y'all help me shout. That's what I want you to say about your life today. It's not all good, but it's all God. Somebody shout, it's all God. That's how I made it. High five somebody, say, all God. I would have despaired if I did not believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord. That I would see it. Can't see it right now. Can't prove it on a chart. I got grief. Are you grieving? Ask your neighbor, are you grieving? Or are you good? Tell them, I got something in between. I got something. See, God is my in between. God will take whatever happens. If it's bad, he'll make it good. If it's good, he'll get glory out of it. If it's bad, he'll make it good, and they'll know it was all God. So if you see me playing Division I NCAA football, you know it was all God. Something must have happened in between. Now watch this. Can I give you more? Yeah. There is a quote that changed my life from the Austrian psychologist Viktor Frankl. He wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning. It is one of the best-selling books of all time, and I know why from this one quote. Put it on the screen. Look at this goodness, what he said. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Wait, I should have told you more about him before I read what he said. He was a Holocaust survivor. So Viktor Frankl didn't say, it's all good. I don't know anything about his religious belief, but I found this to be true in my life. That sometimes the only thing I have is that space between stimulus. Do you know what I mean by stimulus? Not the checks they gave to everybody over the age of three a while back. But what happens? A stimulus, like, pop, you hit my hand, I'm gonna slap your face. Or, and this is where he talks about the space. You slap my hand, in between my slap back is a space. Somebody say space. Space. Look at the quote again. Between stimulus and response. The women were afraid, yet, that's the space, filled. And so they ran on the revelation that they had, even though they didn't know what the result would be. Now, they only have to go about a mile to get to Jerusalem where the disciples are still staying. But there's 80 miles to go to Galilee where Jesus said he would meet them. Keep that in mind. It's important as we talk about space. Stimulus response. Let's talk about God. Let's talk about Jesus since it's Easter. The cross was God's response to your sin. The stimulus was your sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God's response to your sin could have been wrath. Instead, it was grace. The distance was fixed between me and God so that I could not come to him. His response, he came to me. The suffering was the stimulus. Forgiveness was his response. You starting to see what I'm talking about? That space in your life right now is what happened to you and what you will do next. And the resurrection speaks to that. Because if there is a space, put it up one more time, between the stimulus and response, and if that space is my power to choose my response, I know one thing about me, okay? I don't do very good with that space. I had one this week. This guy texted me something crazy. I hadn't heard from him in 8 years, and he just decided to text me something crazy out of the blue. Happy Easter. Here's something stupid. Antagonistic, irritating, ignorant, all of it. Now, what I want to tell you is I prayed for him and sent him some boots, some pink boots for Easter. I made the best text, and y'all know I'm pretty good with words. I put every word I've ever learned in seminary and in seventh grade in a text. I tried 7 different drafts. I typed them all up. And I deleted them. And then I typed another one. And I deleted it. And every one I typed up got better than the last one. By the time I finished texting him back, now this is important. By the time I ended up texting him back, I didn't send it. All right. I'm going to save you a lot of trouble. Look at your neighbor and say, you need space before you hit send. What in the world would we have paid to know that earlier in our life? Not just on a text, but on a response. A response. And thankfully, if you are too weak in your own strength to make the right response, Easter comes to say that you have a Savior who emptied the grave, and all power is in His name, and that same power is in you. What am I trying to say? Your Savior is a space maker. How many need a space making Savior in your life today? To see the good I want to do, I don't always do it. And this is why this church is so excited about Jesus, in case you're a first-time guest. Because our Savior is our space maker. Because we were bound in sin. We were wrapped in our past. We were trapped in our trauma. We were locked in our loneliness. We were down in our despair. And the space maker came to show us that all things are possible. High five me and say, I got a space maker. I'm praising the space maker. Now let's contrast this. Viktor Frankl said, there is a space between stimulus and response. The other philosopher, Willie Nelson, said, I got to give you what Willie said. Y'all, I go over to my mom's every Wednesday night for dinner, and she picks out different. I got a record player. And I asked her to pick a record every Wednesday and let's listen to music and eat. And then we watch Wheel of Fortune. And Pat Sajak, I still want to meet you if you ever watch me preach. That would be a real bucket list for me. I love Pat Sajak. I pray for him every time before he goes on. But I came in the other night and my mom was playing a record by Willie Nelson. And it got my attention. And I thought I would use it in my Easter sermon. Willie says this. Well, I got to get drunk. And I sure do dread it, because I know just what I'm going to do. I'll start to spend my money, calling everybody honey, and wind up singing the blues. I'll spend my whole paycheck on some old wreck. And brother, I could name you a few. But I got to get drunk, and I sure do dread it, because I know just what I'm going to do. I researched it, and Willie said that's the dumbest song he ever wrote. He said it's a good song, but it's a stupid song. But it was true at the time. I gotta get drunk. I gotta go off. Did you hear what they said about me? I gotta go off. I gotta do it. I gotta do it. You disrespect me like that. I gotta do it. I think this Easter, the space maker wants to change your gotta. Watch me. From I gotta do it to I got a God. Somebody say, I got a God. I don't got to do it anymore because I got a God who made space, who shed blood. And if I call on his name and if I stay in his word, he can change me from Simon to Peter. He can change beauty out of ashes. He can turn graves into gardens. So I've got a grave, watch this, but I've got a God who can turn it into a garden. Put it in the comments right now. I got a God. I got a God who what I used to have to do, I'm not powerless to do anymore because he got up.
Hey, thanks for stopping by my YouTube channel. I hope you were blessed today. If you were, share this with somebody. Like and subscribe and leave me a comment. Let me know where you're watching from, what we can pray for you about. Hope to see you back here again really soon.